2021, and the time is now 11:50. During the executive session, the board deliberated individual personal comp matters, including CEO, CIO, but no action was taken. Four decisions made and no vote was called for or had by the board of executive session. There are two resolutions in the section we'll need to approve, but first, Vice Chair Rothrock, please provide the report from the Comp Committee.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Compensation Committee met via Microsoft Teams on June 17th. All members of the committee and Jody Giles were present at the meeting, as was Mercer, our compensation consultant. The committee considered three action items at its meeting, two that require further approval by this board. The committee approved the minutes of its March 4th, 2021 meeting, which were approved as drafted. After approval of the minutes, the committee met in executive session to discuss the base salaries for UTIMCO compensation program participants and the CEO for the fiscal year ending August 31, 2022, and to discuss the CEO's qualitative performance standards for the plan year ending June 30th, 2022. After the executive session, the committee approved the base salaries for the plan participants and the CEO of $13,400,000 and $870,000, respectively. The committee also approved the CEO's qualitative performance standards as presented to the committee. These are two resolutions in item 11 of the board that need to be acted on, Mr. Chairman. Other than those action items, that concludes my report.
Thank you, Vice Chair Rothrock. We'll now consider the first resolution in tab 11 related to the committee's recommendation regarding the base salary of the CEO of fiscal year 2020-2021 in the amount of $870,000. Is there any further discussion? If not, may I have a motion to approve the resolution?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The resolution is approved. Congratulations, Brett. Nice job. The second resolution relates to the CEO's qualitative performance standards for the UTIMCO compensation program for the performance period ending June 30, 2022. These have been approved by the Comp Committee and are being recommended for board approval. May I have a motion to approve the resolution?
So moved.
Second? Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The resolution is approved. Thank you. Next agenda item is a discussion related to UTIMCO's budget for the next fiscal year. The budget must also be approved by the Board of Regents. Britt and Rich, please present this item.
So we're on page 142 of Diligent Executive Summary. The way we're going to hit this is we're going to talk about the strategic plans. Then we're going to talk about the budget versus the current strategic plan and the budget. So the top section of page 142 looks at the strategic plan evolution. So what we're saying here is we had a forecast for what we'd be asking for in FY22. We had an original plan that was developed for you in the spring of 2019. We have a plan that after the market events of last year and our course corrections, we updated a plan for where we thought we were, and that was part of the agreement with the board. And then lastly, that last column is kind of where are we today? So key stats, right? We thought we would be asking for 127. Today we're asking for 122, and we sit at 115 FTEs today, 110 in the firm and 5 vacant positions. We thought our AUM originally in 2019, we thought we'd be at the end of FY22, we would have $57 billion of AUM. When we updated the plan last December, we thought at the end of next year we'd be at 63. Today we're sitting at 64. So we're a year ahead at least. And then you can see that the rest of this goes in that similar fashion. So our long-term budget, we thought we would ask for 68.6, we're asking for 68.5. Some of the components of that have shifted around a little bit. That's the bottom line. Today, we're moving from a budget of 62. So the bottom half of this page, I'm not really gonna go into it. Basically, what it says is, you know, we're pretty close. The current year budget should be very closely aligned with the most approximate year of their strategic plan. So that cone of error shrinks as we get closer in time. So if we go to 143, which is the summary budget, I will go top to bottom. Personnel costs, we've already talked about that, 66% of the budget. Then we look at other UTIMCO costs as the next section down, data and subscriptions, travel, lease, depreciation, and other costs. So those are projected to go up by about 1.3 million or 9.7%, And on the ensuing pages, I have some details about what's going on there. And then lastly, at the bottom, we have the direct fund costs, which are expected to go up about $850,000. And we also have detail on that. So page 144, we've gone into great detail about the first bullet, which is the personnel costs. So I'm going to skip down to data and subscriptions. So data and subscriptions going up by $550,000. That's a pretty big number. So what's going on? A lot of what's going on is that we are taking things that we used to purchase and as CapEx on the IT side, and we're moving them into OpEx. So we're going with software as a service or subscription services. So instead of building a new data center up in Arlington, was our disaster recovery site, we're getting rid of that. And that's going to save us money on the CapEx side. Instead, we're going to go with Azure. Microsoft is going to provide us our disaster recovery solution, and we're going to be paying for that on a month-to-month basis. So it moves into OpEx. So that's a big part of what's going on here. And then you can see what we believe over 3 to 5 years is that we're going to save about $500,000 of CapEx. So just things shifting around between the various financial statements. Travel costs going back up on the back of increased travel and probably travel cost inflation. Airfares have been rising. We expanded our space. I hope you all have had a chance to see the east side of the 17th floor. It's nice to have that, and we're getting good use out of it. If we flip to page 145, other costs increased by about $328,000 net. Some of that is some of the EY consulting that we're using to continue to enhance our cyber security posture. Then we've got some added costs for hiring, recruiting, and other stuff. And lastly, the biggest change in the direct fund costs is about $490,000 of an increase. It's coming from legal. So, and I think, Caroline, is that principally additional use of outside counsel for transaction support?
That's correct.
The next page, right? That's a big budget. It's a meaningful increase, but we do think that there may be some areas of opportunity totaling about $1.4 million. So EY has made recommendations of costs to do added security measures and information classification efforts or initiatives. Last year, they made some recommendations, and we were able to do meaningfully better in terms of the cost that we, the money that we actually spent relative to what their estimate was. So Mike Scholander tells us that he thinks he can bring these things in under budget as well. Got some things, some software tools for our TAA team, which may not be needed, and we can save some money on. We're gonna run dual systems for risk for a while. When we get VARA stood up, we wanna make sure it's running seamlessly before we cut the umbilical cord with the old system. And then lastly, when we get full confidence in VARA, there's a couple of systems that will be able to be end of life. The capital budget, which you can see, I think two things on this page. One is that we had a budget for 21 of 4 million, and we only spent 2.9. So Joan always finds a way to save money and keep us in line. So outperformed there in terms of savings, and then you can see a dramatic decrease in total spending, and that's reflective of that top line, right? Server room, telecom, AV equipment. The budget last year was 650. This year it's 30, and that's part of that transition of not spending money on capital. We're actually going OpEx instead.
Are you seeing pressure? Go ahead, John.
I was just going to go to talk about the annual fee and allocation schedule, but
that's fine. Just in general, though, I mean, your subscriptions and consulting and all those seem to be going up 15, 20, 25%. A lot of pressure from your vendors.
Yes. Yeah. Bloomberg will nickel and dime you for every little thing that they possibly
Michael
can.
Michael Bloomberg has no breaks.
No breaks ever. Bloomberg.
When is someone going to come out with a substitute
I agree.
Product?
Yeah, I agree.
Amen.
Please, someone.
I agree.
Ray.
Okay.
Ray, that's you.
We'll do
okay.
It.
All right, Ray. Keep going.
Motion.
So the next page is annual fee and allocation schedule. Really, this is just how we're going to take the funds, the budget, and split it across the funds, and we just do it based on their NAV. So that's that, and we always have to present that and get that approved by the Board of Regents as well. And then the next page is our cash reserves. So we haven't had to do this in a long time. The last time we did this was back in 2010. But what's going to happen is because in our IMSA, we have 25% that we can keep in a cash reserve related to the operating budget. So right now we have about $6 million that we can rebate back, and we'll rebate back that to the funds. And part of that is just the past, this year and last year, of course, we've been under budget, travel in some other areas, and so the cash built up. And so once that happens, it is our responsibility to rebate it back. So that's what we're doing here.
Interesting.
Good.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that. Okay, great. Is that it on your presentation? Okay. Any questions?
Jeff,
yes.
In regards, Rich, to the disaster recovery, removing that, I know that's really something that's very important to the whole money management industry. Can you help me make sure that I'm very comfortable with the changeover to Microsoft and Azure in light of the packing that took place with Microsoft? I just want to know that we're not giving up anything in terms of making a move from a physical operation to Microsoft.
Okay. My phone and friend, Chief Technology Officer,
Mike.
I'm online
here,
Chief
friend. Technology guy. So go ahead, Mike.
Ray, great question. Thank you for that. Through the project and for the year, we set up the capability at Microsoft, and we actually tested and proved it out the weekend before this last. So we have proven that we can recover all the business capabilities and demonstrated that.
Okay.
Great to have that guaranteed assurance. Right? Thank you. Okay. All right. No further discussion. If not, we'll move to a resolution to approve the UTEMCO budget for the 2021-2022 fiscal year. I have a motion to approve the resolution.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. The resolution is approved. The final agenda item is a discussion regarding obtaining board approval for the CEO to accept fees for speaking engagements. Britt, would you please tell us about this?
I will. So I had an incident that came up in April where I was asked to do a keynote speech for a high net worth firm in Houston that, frankly, I never heard of, but they're a big firm. I agreed to do it because one of my titans, you know, works there and asked me to do it. And so I was all set to go. And then they came and said, well, our normal speaker fee for the keynote every year is $18,000. And so I was, that's good. You know, nobody's ever, you know, thought anything I said was worth any money before. This is, I'm worth $18,000. I went to Carolina, and you know how Carolina is. She said, no, you cannot give any money to these kids. And so what I'd like to do, with your permission, is to change that policy. And these things don't come up a lot. They may come up more frequently now, but to change the policy so that when these things occur, there's a possibility that I can take them, subject to having them approved by the chairman of the board, disclosed, you know, to the chair of the ethics committee, and then reported, you know, in the next meeting. So in this situation, we were forced to, we had $18,000 that we could have given to UT and to A&M. We couldn't take it. And I said a lot of brilliant things for free.
So any questions? All right, I've got a clarification. So the money would then go directly to your Titans program?
That's where I wanted to go. And I'd like to have the option to decide, but that's if you want to go to Titans, I'd be perfectly happy with that.
So, Carolina, where do we stand from a legal perspective on this?
Sure. So, the Code of Ethics requires that the CEO obtain prior written approval from the board to have any sort of outside engagements at all for which he's being paid. And so since he was being paid for this and had not obtained that prior written authorization, unfortunately, I did have to say no, that was not an ideal outcome. And so the solution that we thought might work here is to get a prior written authorization that's a blanket authorization from the board, subject to these additional procedures, so that you are comfortable that he's taking speaking engagements that comply with the code of ethics and that are proper for him to do moving forward. So this resolution would act as that prior written approval that's required under the code of ethics, and then he would have to receive approval from you. He'd have to notify the chair of the audit and ethics committee, and then I would have to certify in addition that it complies with all other parts of the code of ethics and that it's a proper engagement for him to do.
And this is for him to keep the money, right?
He could either keep it or he could donate to charity.
Okay. It's not, it's okay.
Yeah. And it's his choice.
It's your call. Yeah. That's right. What I understood. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any comments here?
This is exactly the way we did it at Venrock. Exactly.
So, look, if I could request this, Brett, could let us, I would like to hold this in abeyance for, I think ultimately, I want to absorb this a bit more. I just want to make sure that we are absolutely squeaky clean from a legal standpoint. We've just got so much momentum here at the organization, and I've told you, you know, you're only as good as your last, you know, screw up. And so that's notable in the oil and gas industry. And so happens a lot. It's, you know, it's not a defect-free world that we live in. So if you wouldn't mind, can we hold this resolution until maybe the next board meeting? Do you have any imminent?
No, I don't. I've had one in my life, you know, so it's not, right. There's nothing that's imminent. I don't want to make this a big deal at all. So what you're saying is fine. But
and I don't think, it's not. I just, all I want to do is make sure we cover all the legal bases and just so we're squeaky clean here, because you know, you deserve this stuff. I mean, you've earned it. So with that, I think we'll hold this resolution until next board meeting. Okay.
And there's a check for you to sign for the next Titans dinner.
Okay. I'll gladly pay for your Titans dinner. Okay. I'm totally comfortable with that.
Yeah,
all right. Okay. All right.
So you don't know how many Titans I have.
Brett, is it 2/3 UT Titans, 1/3?
Oh, please.
I'm gonna bet it's the inverse. I'm gonna bet it's 2/3
that one of them is done 30 on the
past. Yeah. They don't want to go there.
No.
Okay. So we've introduced the intern class already, correct?
Yeah.
You don't want to introduce them again?
No.
Okay. All right. All right, thank you all for attending today. Great meeting. Unless there's any further business to be discussed, I will adjourn the meeting. The time is now 12:07. Thank you guys for coming.
Very
appreciate
good.
It.
Thank
good
you.
Good job, Mr. Chairman.
You bet.
Thank you.